Hey, everybody, welcome to Hammer Down. Today's guest is really exciting. There are lots of folks that have been on our show and talked about, you know, kind of the overall problems of the supply chain and the giant solutions that they're a part of. This guy's kind of different. Instead of saying, I'm going to solve the overall issue, he saw a giant gap. One thing that if you could kind of wave your magic wand and make everything run smoothly, he identified it. And in fact, he went out and built it. Eric Rodriguez, CEO of VendorFlow. Welcome to Hammer Down, buddy.
Good to be here. Thank you, Mike. Good to see you.
Absolutely, man. So we'll get into VendorFlow in just a second, but I'd love to talk a little bit about your career path because you don't, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't come from like a full-on supply chain, logistics, transportation background.
No, I started my career in high-end fine dining and a little bit of clinical research and some boring file management stuff we don't need to get into, but all over tech for several years. In 2018 is when I broke into logistics. Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. And so in 2018, 2019, somewhere along the way there, and so Eric and I worked together at Next Trucking, and somewhere along the way, Eric had this, saw this big issue and went and said, I'm going to go solve it, and started this company named VendorFlow. What does VendorFlow do? What was the issue you're out to solve?
Yeah. To back up into the problem a little bit, you know, fundamentally it's really hard to productively engage frontline workers. And really in trucking, of course, we're mostly talking about truck drivers. So we've seen a number of methods by which a company and operations team might engage a frontline worker. Well, there's email, which has a big problem, which is the response rate is going to be very poor, trying to reach a truck driver or frontline worker in the field. So there's also mobile apps, mobile trucker apps, mobile frontline worker apps. We found the adoption to be very poor there across the board as well. It's got to be something they will use. That's the first rule. Hey, well, what will they use? Well, texting. And not just texting, we observed, which SMS, WhatsApp, Telegram, Facebook Messenger. We've even seen Instagram, which is a little too silly. I don't see us supporting Instagram messaging anytime soon. But this is the reality of what frontline workers are comfortable with and acclimated to. But then the challenge becomes, okay, so now you have an operations team using a generic texting product, Google Voice, RingCentral, Dialpad, to communicate with truck drivers. Well, that's good because yes, they will play ball. Yes, they will text you back. However, it's not integrated with your TMS because really what is the goal? It's to reach the driver, to engage them, and in such a way that they can productively engage with your TMS as well. When they share that location, sign that document, confirm that shipment, that's structured data that should flow back in your TMS. So we're trying to offer the best of both worlds, a way to engage them that is also productive in that it's integrated with your TMS to power all host of automations and beyond.
Okay, so let's unpack here. And I hate the word unpack, so bear with me. So essentially, we looked around and said, drivers have too many apps. There's app fatigue. Don't necessarily love email. You know, I think a lot of drivers still have Gmail, Hotmail, or even AOL email addresses. But in order to communicate with a truck driver in their native place, and we know where they're going to be. They're going to be on Instagram, to your point. They're going to be on TikTok, to your point. And ultimately, this makes sense, right? Like if you're driving a truck, you get to a location, you've got 30 minutes to kill, you get on your phone.
Sure.
So as a broker, as a company that's working with truckers, as a dispatcher, I want to say, look, I know where that driver is going to be. Let me get in touch with him. And that's where you guys come in, right?
Yeah, that's right. And we serve freight brokers, trucking companies directly as well. So fleets themselves and a port as well that we recently closed. So all range of folks who engage with truck drivers and other frontline workers.
Okay, got it. So we've got that component of it. And then so as a broker or as, you know, an intermediary or even a dispatcher, I want two-way communication and I want it to live in my TMS. So if my shipper calls me and says, hey, where's my stuff? I communicate with my driver, but I want it to live in a sort of a system of record. So you're bridging the gap between Facebook Messenger or other tools, VoIP, whatever it might be, SMS, into my TMS. So all those communications are captured. It serves as a source of truth. And I can confidently tell my shipper what's going on with their load, especially things like, hey, great news, we're on time, right?
Right. Because the funny thing is your organization might know because the driver texted you and it's sitting in your dial pad, it's sitting in your RingCentral. But that key information needs to flow all the way into your TMS to mark, yes, they did arrive, or yes, this is their GPS, yes, this is the POD. And RingCentral or VendorFlow should not be your repository of PODs. No, it should flow onward into your TMS. So we enable a really easy push to push the document or the image that you captured over text, push it all the way into the TMS where it really belongs.
Okay, got it. Love it. So along these lines, you mentioned that there's a port involved here. Is this, and bear with me, I mean, like I think we've all seen The Office a few too many times. We've seen the episode where Ryan Howard creates Woof, which is like, hey, this great kind of notification system. How do you operate with a port? Is this just FYI, here's our wait times, or is there something more to that?
Yeah, no, we're really excited. I've had to learn a lot about ports lately. I mean, I've had kind of a basic understanding for a few years, but lately we've really dug into it. There's two things in our research. Of the, let's say, the top 25 ports in America, about 5 or 6 of them do SMS broadcasts, alerts. So as a trucker in the community, I subscribe to a phone number for alerts about closure, schedule changes, safety warnings, detours, so on and so forth. And that's, let's be honest, that's a not a new technology to be able to broadcast SMS, right? But they chose us for a reason. They're excited about a phase two. This phase two is to empower frontline workers, really truck drivers, to query port and terminal systems for key information. Key information like, imagine this, I'm a truck driver, I have a 40-foot empty Maersk container, I take a picture, submit it by way of vendor flow texting, and we OCR the image to say, okay, it's this kind of Maersk container, query the port and terminals to say which terminal is accepting this empty right now, because that can be constantly changing based on the port. So to give the driver that information back, okay, terminal 3 is accepting the empty you have. And maybe go a step further to offer them a button to say, you know, make reservation now. So that's really the core loop. And why would a port be motivated around this? Well, reducing port congestion and increasing their turn times. So truck drivers are spending less time going to places where they're just going to be rejected anyway for not having the right chassis or not having the whatever the situation may be. It allows frontline workers to be more proactive.
Sure. Now, along those lines, one of the things that's sort of interesting to me, like, and folks that, you know, look, again, are the audience for this show, it hopefully is folks that haven't, you know, joined the supply chain yet and don't necessarily know this. To your point about like terminal appointments, here in LA Long Beach, there's 13 terminals with what, 10 different appointment systems. So at the end of the day, this is a really big issue. You know, like a dispatcher will sit there with 10 tabs open on his or her laptop saying, okay, let me figure out who's open for this, who's open for that. You're solving a massive issue with this.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. And as are many others, certainly. And we, Vendorflow, our role here, we're not a visibility company. That's not our role. Our role is to provide a simple, lightweight interface texting where a frontline worker can run these types of queries. And we're open to all sorts of partnerships to facilitate the trucker accomplishing their goals. So, that could be a variety of partners, of course.
Got it. So then on the back end, you mentioned OCR, which is, what is that?
Right. Optical, as in eyes, character recognition, just a simple scan of an image or a document, which at this point is a reasonably well-solved problem in logistics. A lot of companies have been adopting this technology, but we find applying it to pairing it with the ease of texting is what we find to be special here.
Got it. Okay. So I'm a driver. I take a picture. I send it in. And presumably, is it a chatbot on the back end, or where is this information coming from?
Yeah, it, of sorts. If I may slightly spin to its related topic, one thing we're really bullish on that indeed our port customer is bullish on as well is SMS 2.0 is going to be coming live later this year. And that will enable button experiences in the native chat. So where today SMS is words and links and images, the RCS standard 2.0 will allow buttons, voice recordings, read receipts, and a whole host of other functionality. But the buttons are what we're excited about. Because I would never expect a truck driver to type, I have a 40-foot, not going to happen. But if we give them a really straightforward button, tap, 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 done type of flow, we think that unlocks a big opportunity. And we're really, I find the deeper story behind SMS 2.0 quite fascinating, if I may. What's exciting, this is an antitrust story. An antitrust meaning really kind of an anti-monopoly story. And antitrust has sort of woken up across the EU as well as the states in these last few years. And Apple has been under a lot of heat, a lot of pressure. So they've been making key concessions lately. Very funny. I think you're an iPhone guy. We were texting recently, right? But, you know, you text someone on an Android and it's green, right? And we go, oh, that's so lame. They're on Android. However,
I'm insulted, by the way. I am absolutely I'm a green guy. I'm okay, team green,
right?
All the way.
Yeah, green guy. Good. Well, what's funny though is that the green guys have been on the right side this whole time because Android has been ready for a higher standard of texting this whole time. They've been begging for it, lobbying for it, ready for it. But Apple has artificially lowered the quality of texting for a long time to make iMessage be the cool thing. Thanks, though, to the antitrust pressure, antitrust is saying, hey, that's a monopolistic behavior. Therefore, you need to adopt this standard for the benefit of everyone except your shareholders. So that's a key theme that we're really excited about. So what does this all mean? Well, Apple announced in November, 5 months ago or thereabouts, that they will be adopting this higher standard later in 2024. I would bet September, October. But we're going to be as ready as can be. So when that day comes, businesses, trucking companies and beyond can really benefit from reaching frontline workers with buttons, which begs the question, well, does that diminish the need for these heavy trucker apps if they can just get everything done over texting? You see the insinuation I'm going for there.
Sure, absolutely. So as I think about your entrepreneurial journey, and I think you've got some cool background and some really fun stories here, one of the things I loved is when you announced your seed round, you didn't go find the typical approach. You took something a little bit different there.
In what facet? What do you mean?
Oh, I mean, just, it wasn't like we're a Y Combinator company. You went out and you built a really interesting story of folks who were supportive of the organization, thought you had a good idea. Walk me through a little bit what that was like.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, we are much more inclined to have this be more of a grassroots, groundswell kind of story. VendorFlow is the way it is thanks to the support of dozens, probably hundreds of various people in the industry who have given us great advice, great feedback, whether customers or advisors. I could fill up the rest of our time with shout outs, but I don't know, like Ryan Schreiber certainly comes to mind, and all host of Gary Kendall comes to mind, all range of folks come to mind in forming this. And indeed, a lot of this comes from actual real life stories of our customers. So that's driven a lot of it. That's right.
Sure, absolutely. So Eric, one of the questions I ask everybody that's a guest on the show, if I'm a recent or soon to be or a new college grad thinking about our industry, what advice would you give that person as they're like, look, I'm going to try it, getting into it, I don't know if this is the right fit for me.
In terms of, for example, they have a startup idea and they're seeing if they want to take the deal.
Whether it's a startup idea to somebody who's maybe 1 or 2 years in their career and sees a gaping hole, or whether it's somebody who's just about to graduate, like so we're both in LA Long Beach area. There's a bunch of great schools here, right? Like USC has its supply chain master's program. Long Beach State is terrific. There's a bunch of other ones. So one of those kids who's walking out into their first job, if you were giving the graduation speech, what would you tell these?
Well, one aspect certainly would be to arrive to logistics supply chain with a great deal of humility, because it's very easy, and I was guilty of this as well when I was new at Next Trucking, very easy to look at a problem in supply chain, because there's a few, as you know, and say, oh, just do this. So simple. Why aren't they just doing this? And maybe you'll do this, which will increase one KPI, I don't know, reducing damage or improving on-time performance or whatever it may be. And in doing so, you just screwed up like five other important KPIs. To recognize that there's a delicate balance in supply chain, and it's a question of what really are you trying to accomplish. So to take one's time, I suppose, in really appreciating all the interconnected considerations when trying to solve a problem.
Eric, what haven't I asked you that I should have?
Oh, boy. For fun stories, I suppose. One of my favorite stories are a couple fold. Both incidentally pertain to Telegram Messenger, for folks who don't know, it's a lot like WhatsApp, one of the most popular social messaging ones. And by the way, Telegram grew from, I think, 400 million monthly active users to 700 million in just the year 2022. So it's been picking up big time. But the funny story I find is that we've talked to more than one freight broker now at over $1 billion in revenue, where Telegram is a major, major channel for their communications with frontline workers. And indeed, one of them claims that 50% of their frontline worker communications transpires over Telegram, which is an app that a lot of people just never heard of. But I don't know if it would be fair to attribute $500 million in revenue to all happening over Telegram. Maybe that's not a fair way to put it. But regardless, I find that to be super interesting. And further, in the example of the other, which we should remain unnamed, their leadership said, wait a minute, I don't like this Telegram stuff going on, not because they don't embrace tech, but because it implies that their office workers are using personal social media channels to conduct business. Well, that can open that up to liability, right? Misclassification, all sorts of risks, security risks, and so on. So what did leadership say? They said, stop it with the Telegram. Stop using the Telegram. And then the operations team, dispatchers said, well, or in carry sales, well, they said, well, if we stop using it, we sever those relationships. It's a big facet of relationships. And what the middle ground they met at was to procure dozens and dozens of Chromebooks to allow them to do their dirty work, Telegram, at least with some concept of an IT frame. But what they need is an enterprise way to do Telegram. And the last note I'll add here, one of my favorite feature requests I ever got, we were pitching a broker and their carrier sales rep, a younger guy. He said, hey, but can you support sending GIFs, like Jiffy fun little GIFs? And I'll be honest, my instinctual reaction was like, well, that's silly. Like, come on, like this is a business software. But the more we talked about it, it was like, well, humor is a major facet of relationship building. And if this carrier sales rep is building relationships with these truck drivers and other folks, well, who would I be to stop that? And these are little things that bring people joy in the software that they use, ways of finding humor and all that good stuff. So anyway, just a few funny little anecdotes that we enjoy in our travels, because there's a lot here that is not the traditional story, I suppose.
Sure. And you support Telegram, yeah?
Yeah. As of recently, thanks to, when a couple of big brokers, it's a big part of the story, we'll find a way. They have great APIs, so we support Telegram.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you joining Hammer Down with Eric Rodriguez on the Market Scale Network. Catch you on the next one.